the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, once again a critic of the government of the day, still vitally energetic, prolific writer, possessed of a prophetic vision of the future with all its deadly promises, is once again passing through a hiatus, a period of waiting for the call to duty which will one day soon be sounded. The time is January 1936. A great king lies dying, and an empire formed.
London, a city of mourners. There seems to be no life, no happy smiles anywhere. The people, high and low, will miss George V.
A king's death. That means so much, doesn't it?
Always, it means the end of an epoch, a chapter in history, and grave personal loss. What memories. Memories. 25 years of kingship. A succession of great crises and far-reaching changes. The constitutional issue of the House of Lords. Then the world drifts to war. I stood with the king on the royal yacht at that great naval review at Spithead.
Away out of sight, Your Majesty. They go on a longer voyage than any of them know.
Inspiring leadership in the war that followed. King George and Queen Mary. What greater royal couple ever reigned? And now, a life comes to a close. Edward VIII will become the new ruler.
Will he prove as great as his father?
He has the same heritage, the same blood. But who knows what the future will bring?
Pardon me, sir. The news has just come through.
The king.
King George has ended his life in peace.
God preserve his soul.
A new king ascends the throne. A new king who is to reign for a tragically short period. Among the new king's closest friends is Winston Churchill, who has known him as a youth and as a man. Of all British statesmen, it is Winston Churchill who suffers most acute sorrow at inevitable destiny in those critical days of December 1936.
Yes, sir. But no more now. I thank you for the invitation. I shall come immediately.
It's all over, Clementine. The new king upon whom we counted so much is going.
There is no other way out.
No other way out. Edward has signed his decree of abdication and ends his short reign today. I must go to Fort Belvedere.
To see Edward?
Yes, he expects me. How this cuts into my heart, Clementine. Do you remember just 25 years ago, when I was Home Secretary, I stood by Edward's side at Carnarvon Castle and proclaimed his style and title at investiture as Prince of Wales. 25 years.
And all that time you've been one of his closest friends.
I loved him and admired him. And now, but no more. It must be faced. Excuse me, my dear. I must go immediately to Fort Belvedere. The Commons is meeting this afternoon. And It will be all over.
Mr. Winston Churchill.
His Majesty is in the library, Mr. Churchill, with the Duke of Kent.
Thank you.
Sire, I thank you for this last opportunity to pay you homage and respect. I can only pray that this tragic change will bring you that happiness which you need and deserve so much.
In the House of Commons.
I regret that it is my duty to convey to you a message from His Gracious Majesty the King. The message is as follows. After long and anxious consideration, I have determined to renounce the throne to which I succeeded on the death of my father. And I am communicating this, my final and irrevocable decision, realizing as I do the gravity of this step. And I can only hope. I take leave of my people in the confident hope that the course which I have thought it right to follow is that which is best for the stability of the throne and empire and the happiness of my peoples. I am deeply sensible of the consideration which they have always extended to me, both before and after my accession to the throne, and which I know they will extend in full measure to my successor.
Prime Minister, Mr. Baldwin, speaks with great emotion.
Firstly, he said to me, if he went, he would go with dignity. He would not allow a situation to arise in which he could not do that. He wanted to go with as little disturbance to his ministers and his people as possible. I honor and respect him for that. I have here something which will touch the House. I received a penciled note from His Majesty this morning, and I have his authority for reading it. It says, "The Duke of York and the King have always been on the best of terms as brothers. The King is confident that the Duke deserves and will receive the support of the whole empire."
So the unparalleled drama of abdication draws to a close. On December the 10th, 1936, at 10 p.m., Edward, no longer king, takes leave of his vast empire in these words, a speech historic as it is tragic. "I now quit altogether public affairs, and I lay down my burden. It may be some time before I return to my native land, but I shall always follow the fortunes of the British race and empire with profound interest. And if at any time in the future I can be found of service to His Majesty, I shall not fail." And now we all have a new king. I wish him and you and his people happiness and prosperity with all my heart. God bless you all. God save the king. Edward bids his royal mother, his sister, his brothers, his king, farewell.
The destroyer HMS Fury stands by to take on a special passenger. And the newly created Duke of Windsor goes into exile.
Dated the 10th day of December, His former Majesty, King Edward VIII, did declare his irrevocable determination to renounce the throne for himself and his descendants, and the said instrument of abdication has now taken effect, whereby the imperial crown of Great Britain, Ireland, and all other of his former Majesty's dominions is now solely and rightfully come to the high and mighty Prince Albert Frederick Arthur George. God save the King!
Long live England! Long live England!
God save the King.
Perhaps it's better so, Winston.
Yes, but the pity of it. George the Fifth reigned through storm and stress. George the Sixth will find a way even darker. If he guides the ship safely to harbor, no king will have done more.
You think there might be war again soon?
3 years, 4 years, perhaps longer, we shall have for peace. King George the Fifth, King Edward, and now, King George the Sixth. May God preserve him and his empire in these times of crisis.
A new reign commences. A reign unparalleled for quick-moving drama and tragedy. The darkness is descending over Europe, and still Britain is unprepared. But Winston Churchill, who has played so many vital roles in British history of two generations, is ready to answer the new king's call for an imperial leader.